This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right, the Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and we've got another very special guest for you today. Mike will do the introduction, but I'll also tell you that after Mike's interview, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears. We got Mike's three picks, and who knows what else we'll be talking about. We know one thing, we're going to have lots of fun. Let me introduce Mike now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Aldo, and I'll tell you what, it's been a busy, busy, busy week. We'll be talking Bears, we'll be talking National Football League, we'll be talking about Major League Baseball, but the big story, I think, of course, is the releasing of Rick Renteria as the manager of the Chicago White Sox, once again, pigeonholed into the interim manager type of situation. And I said, you know what? I got to get a guy on. I've known, heck, for over 14, 15 years now. I remember back in the day, he was on the Score and with me, and we had some fun, and he's doing real well now. We'll catch up with what he's doing. We'll also catch up with the family. They are one of the first families of baseball in Chicago, no doubt about it. They're all active, and we're pleased to have on my buddy, Ozzie Guillen Jr. How are you, Oz?
What's up, Mike? How's it going? Hope everything's going well with you. I'm glad that we're on.
Going well. Yeah, we're back. We're back together. First of all, why don't you tell everybody what you're up to as far as I see you have a great podcast going. You're still involved very, very much when it comes to the media and stuff like that. What do you got going?
Yeah, I have a dual life. So my baseball and analytics analyst life. I'm a part of La Vida Baseball, where we host a baseball show that lives on social media. And then we started this about 6 months ago, Being Guillen. It's a podcast done out of my basement where we try to talk baseball and try to bring in an insight of, you know, comedy, jokes, honesty, and try to bring, you know, a little different type of baseball feel from the view of basically three different guys. And we have the honor to have a former, you know, Major League Baseball player and a World Series manager. And it's fun because, you know, we have a lot of fun with Ozzy and his little intricacies, and it's been great. So I'm on Twitter and social media where, you know, most people are on, and that's how I stay engaged. And, but yeah, just got two kids now, you know, partying days are over. I'm work, but, it's fun though. I'm in a good place. And just following Chicago sports. One thing that I do like, which I still feel a little bit dirty when I do it, but again, I need to get over it. I don't like talking about gambling openly on Twitter, especially about baseball, but I have to get over it because it's part of the game now. So still enjoying that. And, you know, like what we do, the handicapping and how many games did we get right. So just having a good time, just very happy that we're here and very grateful about life.
Yeah, you sound great. You got the family. I live vicariously through you guys on Twitter. When I see the pictures of you guys all gathered, your mother, your dad, the whole crew, the hugging of the babies, I see all that. I just see a very, very tightly wound family type of situation. So I know when things are going great, it's a beautiful thing. You know, everybody has trials and tribulations. I think your dad, you know, me and your dad had a few run-ins, but I also have ultimate respect for your dad. I think he's a street guy. I think he manages from the gut. I think he's an engaging guy, and I always enjoyed his honesty with me, and that's what I want to get off to. I got to believe, and whether you leave a place yourself or whether you're let go by that place, 10, 15 years later, I would think, since you brought a World Series to Chicago, that you'd at least get an interview. Because when you don't get an interview, that means there's other teams that may not call you. If the team that you were on and that you delivered a world championship to and engaged this whole city in 2005, I got to believe if the Sox don't interview him, does that make it harder for your dad, if he indeed would like to manage, and I believe he does, is it harder for your dad to get an interview with other teams, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Mike, I think that the biggest travesty of Ozzie's career, it's not the fact that he's not managing, because at the end of the day, owners and general managers can pick whoever they decide to, is the fact that Ozzie's never been interviewed, okay? The last interview that Ozzie actually did, interview-wise, was the Chicago White Sox in 2004 when he interviewed with them and he got the job and then spent his time there, because when he went to the Marlins, there was no interview. The Marlins wanted him. They traded for him. So there wasn't an interview. It was more of let's negotiate the contract and get you what we want to get you here. People don't realize this. Ozzie's move was a trade. Okay, they didn't fire Ozzie. It was that one was how they talk about Ricky Renteria. Oh, both parties left. You know, they made a mutual agreement. Ozzie's was a mutual agreement. Ricky Renteria got fired. So Ozzie, you know, he got traded. The Sox got something back. Ozzie went there. It was a money situation. Ozzie did not want to be a sitting duck. Because a lot of things had not gone the way that, you know, that you thought that they would have gone. But that's the travesty. And then, you know, I think that you always hold hope. I think that all of us a long time ago made peace that Ozzie might not come to the White Sox ever again. But I think that when there, you see the team, you see the opportunity, you watch the games, you've been around the game long enough, and you say, I don't think this guy's the guy. And I've been saying he's not the guy for a long, long time. You know, I said that Robbie Ventura was a better manager than he was on the field, like making in-game decisions. Because, again, that in the clubhouse was a totally different thing. But, you know, you keep that hope. And even the hope of sitting down and saying, okay, making a list and saying, these are the things that we didn't like when you were here. These are, could you change these things? These are the demands that we would make.
Right.
How are you on analytics? Because I tweeted yesterday and somebody, only one person tweeted me back, when I said, if you have broken English, no one thinks that you're analytical, okay? It's funny because we used to have the author of the Fielding Bible come to spring training and talk to Ozzie because he's obsessed with defensive analytics and pitching. He doesn't care too much about the hitting ones because he says hitting is hard enough as it is. He loves the whole movement thing, but he says about hitting and defense, that's where the key is to winning a game. If you have the numbers to when you can run and steal. So this guy's been, you know, he's been working in TV for 5 years. So he loved analytics also because we're his kids and we're talking about it consistently. I work, my day job, for to say, I work with analytics. I work in corporate America. So no one, you know, no one in baseball can argue that with me. So he's been immersed in it enough, but he is who he is. And he doesn't feel like he has to put on glasses and pretend that he's somebody else, go and get a degree to prove that he can do this game of baseball and compare the numbers. That's the numbers are just there, but you're just using numbers to things that were happening in the past. And now you just have better data to be able to analyze it. So for you not to even be considered and kind of show how much of a grown-up you've become and say, hey, okay, what would change this time? And at least have that conversation. It hurts. It hurts because I think that it hurts because if you lose the job and they bring in Tony La Russa, you say, okay, wow, you lose to Tony, you know, Hall of Famer. You lose to Bochy, you lose to Girardi, you lose to Mike Socha. But, like, they're considering somebody that was suspended last year, you know, because he cheated as a head manager. That hurts. That hurts on a personal level.
Yeah, well,
level.
I got to get
but
to
it's something. Yeah, so that hurts. And to look at Ozzie, though, and see that he's hurt inside because he loves the White Sox. You have to make peace with it. He was very happy, and we were very respectful, and we're very happy that the chairman called Ozzie. They talked, don't know what they talked about, but he let him know before that came out publicly because I think he would have been a little bit more of a shock. But it hurts. Of course it hurts. Ozzie did not want Ricky's job. He doesn't want anybody's job, but of course he loves it. Like, that's the team of his dream, man. The guy played for the team. He won a World Series. He lives in Chicago. This team's awesome. You look at the guys. He also has a great relationship with the guys on the team. You know, I've heard the rumor about, oh, they don't want him because the Cuban guys. Ozzie's been to Cuba 10 times since the whole Fidel thing. He's friends with Moncada, friends with Abreu, text messaging level. So again, I think that, but it's sad though. It's disappointing because when you look at the stats and you see Ozzie at the third all-time winningest manager, 100 years, 3 World Series. He brought 1, 10 playoffs. Ozzie has been part of 2 as a manager, 1 as a player. Only manager to bring a postseason twice to Chicago, and he's not dead. So you, most of the times you look back and you say, as a Yankees, man, I wish we had Billy Martin. Billy's dead. Ozzie's not. So that's the part that, as a fan and as a baseball person, it hurts, but you got to get over it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. It's amazing. I brought this up on Twitter yesterday. Billy Martin was fired 3-4 times by the same guy. But I also said this, and I was very honest. George Steinbrenner, and I know Jerry very well, and Jerry's a friend, but I tell Jerry how I feel. Steinbrenner's a couple notches up from Jerry. I'm sorry. And Jerry, all of a sudden now, you know, has had enough with the Bulls. I think he's cleaning house with the White Sox. The analytics thing puzzles me. First of all, the word out there is that, and I believe me when I tell you this, the White Sox front office folks, believe me, I know them all, the leaking and whatever, the nonsense, or that Ozzie just manages from the gut, which is nonsense. He looks at reports, looks at stats like everybody else. But the fact is, the analytics guys are guys that shouldn't be allowed to be in baseball. And that is, I'm sorry, Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch. The integrity of the game matters. And for a team that fixed the World Series over 100 years ago to now, think about hiring a man who fixed the World Series just recently makes me sick. And I think that's something where your dad is an honest guy, shoots from the hip, but tells the truth. As a guy like myself, too, I am sick about that. And I think that would be yesterday, 40% of recipients on a Twitter question said basically that they would not. They'd rather have Ozzie than Hinch or Cora. What's your take on what I said about those two guys? And I know, well, and I know Joey is a brother. And I know Joe. I'd rather have Joey.
No, Alex is my Alex is still like an uncle to me. And when we found out that he was involved in a coaching staff where this was happening, we were embarrassed. And, you know, my brother Austin was fired from Houston because he was linked to Alex, probably, you know, even though he didn't get him the job. And they were just cleaning house. I think that people don't know this, okay, and how the clubhouse works. Alex Cora was not found guilty about Boston, okay? So that's people's opinion. The situation in Houston, okay, the head of that family, okay, the capo and the, you know, the number two to the capo is Mr. Lunghau and A.J. Hinch, okay? For A.J. Hinch to say that he couldn't control his coaching staff and he couldn't control his players and putting it on other people, to me, is an embarrassment as a manager, because you are supposed to be this genius. Oh, and by the way, that was like his fourth year managing the team, fourth or fifth year. So it wasn't like it happened in his first year on the job. Inexperience got me, where I start second guessing and saying, man, does this guy have the audacity, like the manhood, to step into a clubhouse and tell a player, you can't do this? How do you tell a player, look him in the eye and say, hey, you can't do steroids, don't juice? Literally, because you have to have those conversations with guys like, hey, I've been hearing rumors, don't juice. Or you have to, when you're a manager and when you're a leader, and that's my issue with it. When if you cross this line, you can no longer talk about the integrity of the game. Okay, Shoeless Joe Jackson is banned from the game of baseball still, even from the grade. The guy can't get credit because he's banned from baseball. You know, Pete Rose is banned from baseball because of that. Guys that face huge suspensions because of steroid use, because of the integrity of the game, and that's an individual person. This is something that somebody won a World Series, okay? If A.J. Hinch wins another World Series, he gets into the Hall of Fame, okay? That's something that's how close he is, and he was, to winning a World Series again and being considered for the Hall of Fame. So it makes you think, like, the street in you starts saying, man, we should have cheated in 08. We should have cheated in 2011. Maybe they wouldn't have caught us. Maybe we have another ring. Maybe, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame, because people don't realize this. You can always cheat in baseball. There's always been ways to cheat the game, and you know that, but you just don't do it. And if you know that somebody's doing it, you bring it up, and it's something you don't want to be a part of. So that's, I think that's the part that hurts the most, because if you get beat to a guy like Sandy Alomar, you get beat to, you know, to somebody. If he becomes the manager, I'm gonna be honest with you, I won't be rooting for them if he becomes the manager, because I just have a hard time with that.
I've been a White Sox fan since I was 8 years old. They hire AJ Hinch or Alex Cora, I'm done. I am done.
Yeah, you won't be the only one because again, you have to. And my biggest concern is this, Mike, and I think this is a concern for them in any team that they go to, unless they go back to the team that they were on before, is walking into a clubhouse, okay, mm-hmm. and addressing that conversation mm-hmm. and saying, "This is who I really am." That can be awkward. You know, we're in an age in baseball where you lose clubhouses over political opinions. Okay. Like that's where we're at in sports. You lose a clubhouse because of a political opinion, because of a tweet, because you wear a certain hat to the stadium. So that's crazy. The fact that happens, I don't think in the 1980s anybody knew what player voted for who in the clubhouse. So I think that now that's so sensitive that people, mm-hmm. they're looking at the manager and they're judging you so much that can become an issue. And I think that's a huge part. And it's funny because this is supposed to be the reason that you're keeping Ozzie out of the game, because Ozzy might say things that his opinions on his personal views of life are a little bit not something the team wants to represent. That's why you're keeping him out of baseball. Okay, but then you're allowing other guys that are doing maybe something worse, and they're getting in. So that's the part where it hurts. But again, that's something that they've realized. They looked into it, and if they want to go that route, I think fans are going to have to make a really strong decision of moving forward. For me, it's going to be hard. You know, Alex's family, not to root for them for Alex, but AJ, I'm saying to you that he's not. I won't be wearing a screaming for him to win it. I'm not. I just got to be honest because that's just how I feel about it. But also, I think that's something that the team needs to come into consideration and say. I really hope that they look into guys because there's a lot of great options out there. Sandy Alomar, you know, Alex again, if they're going to consider. There's a lot of younger guys. I love Ron Washington. No one brings his name up again.
You just brought up Alex. I'm sorry, he's family or whatever. He doesn't deserve. He should have been banned from office.
No, he doesn't. And I got to respect that. And I've come to terms with that. And I have to respect that. And again, we've talked about it. And mm-hmm. I have to respect people. You know, it's like when somebody in your family commits a crime or somebody does that. You know, you come to terms with it. Like you have to respect what other people's opinions are about that certain situation.
Well, no, you know what the funny thing is, Oz? The funny thing is, all I'm hearing is he's the only guy. I'm going, wait a minute. You got Bruce Bochy, who said he's interested. You got other people out there that can manage the game of baseball who have been associated with winning, whether it's Bochy, whether it's La Russa. It doesn't matter. There are other guys out there. I mean, look at this guy, Cash. Nobody even knew who he was. I guarantee you most Chicago fans, casual fans, don't even know who he is, and he may be the best manager in baseball. There's diamonds in the rough. My deal is this. Ozzie also, when he went to Miami, I think because of the comments, because of the Venezuela crap or whatever it is, or Cuban, it doesn't matter. I wasn't there, but people took offense. Okay, you brought up something earlier, and once you brought that up, I shook my head yes. What Ozzie did was a long time ago, and you even said, hey, even adults grow up. I'm the same way. Or you're the same way. People remember you from maybe something you did 15, 20 years ago, and they never let you grow up, yet they'll tell you they're grown up about everything. How much would Ozzie, you even said it, would guarantee if he was granted an interview that he's not going to play politics, he's not going to talk about this, not talking about that, and that's why you think that interview that he needs that he can't get is so important, right?
Yeah, I think, you know what, that interview was never going to happen because nowadays we wouldn't do it because that was a Time magazine feature and they wanted Ozzie to talk about politics because they wanted Ozzie to give his opinion. And mm-hmm. Ozzie made a funny comment that was taken out of context. Okay, and then the day that there was a protest, there was people that were there supporting Ozzie's comments. They just didn't view it that way. Also, after that situation, those 2 days, that was never brought up once. They protested for 1 day and that was it. You know, the situation, again, Ozzie's been to the country. It was taken out of context. I think my dad said 1,000 things way worse than that, you know, when he's in his time in Chicago, that I would think would detriment him even more. But you live and learn. Again, that was a different type of Ozzie thought that he had always talked to the media, that he always had to come back to it. And I think if that's what's keeping him out. Do you know what the sad part about you know, Mike, when you have your radio show right now,
right,
and I listened to the intro, and you said not scripted, honest to the point. So during your time in Chicago, obviously we've always had a good relationship, but probably the most famous, the most heated battles that any fan remembers of that time was Ozzy and yourself, which was awesome. And the way that happened was even better now that it happened, like on the way to the stadium, call him. I have no idea what he's going to do. You and him get into it.
It was awesome.
You two have always been able to grow up from that and look at each other and talk. And that's what people cannot do. Here's the part that's interesting. You, out of all people that critiqued Ozzy so much, and that's fine, you've also come to his defense when you've had to. The Chicago media, I'm going to put myself in it, they would not even ask Rick Renteria the hard questions during the playoffs. And now guys that I consider Hall of Fame writers, guys that I respect, are writing, guys that I've known write about guys who use steroids and talk about the integrity of the game a couple years before, are writing about this guy is the only option to manage this team. That, to me, is very – and the part that's sad is that nobody went to bat for Ozzy. No one has, for whatever reason, when it comes to that, except you. So I think that that's ironic how that whole thing works in the system, that someone that critiqued you so much when you were on the job.
Let me tell you something. I worked for this. I'm going to tell everybody a short story. I worked for the city back in the day, and it was raining one day, so they said, you guys got to stay in. You can't do the work outside. We're playing cards, okay? We caught a guy got caught cheating, okay? What he did was he took a card, he won a hand, then he said he had to use the washroom. He tore the card in fours. I can't make this up. And then he flushed the toilet. The cards floated back up after he walked out, okay, because they were cards. He got his eye dotted, and he was never allowed to play again. I can't stand fixing things. I can't stand stuff like that. That is the thing that bothers me the most. And you know what really worries me? A lot of these people I know, whether they're hosts or whether they're writers, and believe me when I tell you this, you know what? I know half of them are all right, and the other half I could do without. They've been there for 30 years just knocking down the honesty in sports, in my opinion. But the fact that they want a cheater or a fixer to come in, okay, makes me wonder about ever wanting to deal with people like this. If this is the only guy that you guys can think of, and you're praising a man who fixed the World Series, shame on all of them. Shame on them all. Period. End of story.
I think
Ozzy not being granted an interview is the thing that bothers me most. Because you know what? That's Kenny Williams, in my opinion. And I don't care. Kenny Williams, I can't stand the guy. And he knows it. And he can't stand me. But I'm going to tell you something. He's a grudge holder, and the bottom line is, I think he'd be the guy of all of them that would put the kibosh. Jerry loves Kenny, and Kenny and Oz, let's face it, they had head jams. They ran into each other more than once, yet they both delivered, so I've never understood that.
Well, I think that I was very close to both of them and seeing how they worked. I think that that's probably one of the best combinations of two baseball minds going at it, because they brought out the best in each other. I think that he is one of the best baseball minds in baseball. Again, he's not perfect when it comes to the game. No general manager is or president, but he knows his stuff and he has a ring to prove it. And when they worked together, they did amazing things, more good things than bad things. I just think that I think that for them not to interview him, I don't know if it was because they didn't want to give him hope, or because they were never even going to consider him. I think that you interview him and you make him lose the job, because I'm going to go back a little bit in history. Ozzie Guillen was never supposed to be the manager of the Chicago White Sox in 2004. He was never supposed to be the manager. God willingly, a couple of things happened that I think helped Ozzie, and you were a part of it. You might not even know this. We come in, and actually Jay Mariotti was too, which is funny as well. We come into Chicago and the Marlins are playing the Chicago Cubs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Ozzy is the third base coach. And Jack McKeon is obviously on the Ozzy parade of how Ozzy is doing an amazing job. And Ozzy, and obviously at that moment, the White Sox were looking to maybe walk away from Jerry Manuel. So automatically, Ozzy became a fan favorite, a media sweetheart. But everybody knows that the guy that the White Sox might be eyeing was Cito Gatson. And then Ozzy was a last-minute, you know, fill-in for the interview. Everybody knows that at this point. And Ozzy convinced them that he was the right guy.
Right.
Because of his interview, because of his passion, because of what he brought in the table. The part where I think that I would have been in that position, I would have said, okay, let's have this conversation, and I'll make that decision after the conversation. Again, that's just me. If I was a general manager, whatever they did, I don't think it's wrong. I think as a team, though, when they're looking to make the move for the next step, the part that considers me, when everyone wants to go the Tampa Bay route, the analytics route, which is a great route, it's often imitated, very rarely duplicated. When you look at the White Sox brass, okay, in the front office, when was the last time somebody from the White Sox front office went and got hired at a higher job on another team?
It was a rumor, and I've always said it was planted. Toronto supposedly wanted Kenny Williams.
And I think that one might have. It didn't happen. Okay, but I mean, I'm talking about everyone under, because Kenny's, he's awesome. Oh, I think he can
GM any
team.
They've been there for 35 years. Correct. These guys haven't gone.
Correct.
They haven't gone anywhere else.
So if you've been running analytics or you've been doing this for this long and another team has not coached you, that's my concern of, you might have a great idea. Do you have the right people in that office? I'm not talking about the big boys. I'm talking about the doers,
right,
the guys that do the work, the guys that are putting
scouts
in the algorithm, the guys that are doing the scouts, the guys that are putting the legwork, the guys that are there grinding it. Do they have that? In my opinion, that's the part where it gets dangerous. And one of the issues that Ozzy had when he was a manager, okay, and Kenny would support him on this, and he always had his back, was Ozzy would always complain about that we had bad scouting reports. And that's why there's stories of him ripping them and throwing them, like, this is what we really have on Minnesota. Like, we only played the team 14 times. He wanted always more. And that's why he got this myth of he hates analytics. He's like, no, I hate that information. Like, if you gave me good information, I would use that. I just hate bad information.
Right.
You know
that was
always the struggle. Right. By the way, this is funny. Other teams, we would look at other teams' scouting reports in the 2000s, and they were, like, on computer and, you know, this is like the time where all the programs are coming out, and ours were like in paper and pen, you know, like it was like a photocopy, which is great. Like, again, it's baseball. But when you look at stuff like that, maybe that's why he had that myth of, I don't care about the numbers, because he wasn't getting good numbers. He's like, I have to do this on my own. But
the guy won. So I don't care how he got there. Here's my deal. And then we're going to hand it over to Aldo for a couple questions. I got to just say this too. If we're going to talk about those guys that can't analyze, which I believe you're right about that, how are they at picking managers? I mean, your dad, and you call him Ozzy because I think you try to keep the professional thing from the family thing, but your dad had to talk his way in. The other guys, from Ventura to Bevington, I can name them all, even Manuel. They never swayed me, and you know what? Can we trust them to pick another manager? And that's where you go to the front office. Can the front office get it right? And you know what? I'm not so sure of that. I really am not, because I've seen some of the people that they hired. Aldo, we got you here with our buddy Ozzy. Great stuff so far.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know you've got a couple questions for him.
Great interview, guys. It's really a joy listening to you guys talk about these issues. Ozzy, my first question is, what did Ricky Renteria do wrong? What do you think it was that broke the straw that broke the camel's back, whatever the saying is? What is it that you think led him to being dismissed by the Chicago White Sox? Now, Rick Hahn says it was a mutual agreement between the two. We know that isn't true.
That's what my wife's going to say, and she divorces me too.
what do you think Ricky did wrong?
You know what? It's funny because I hate slogans, and I used to, and Ricky's boys don't quit. They definitely quit on him. They definitely quit on him. You know what? I think that I felt bad because I really did. I think that he was a really, really nice guy. I really do. I think that he always had the best interest of his players. I think that he thought that the front office had his back always. And I think that he was always so nice to the media because he didn't want to upset anyone. Okay. But I think that he wished that he could have probably gone back and said what he was probably really thinking during those press conferences and calling players out because at the end, that's what got him. I think not making guys accountable, being too nice, saying that it was always okay. I think there might have been some, you know, he might have been a little bit bitter that they didn't go and get maybe an arm or two in the shortened season to help him kind of make that jump. But I think at the end of the day, it was a situation of a guy being tagged. He can't take you to the next level. You know, I always said this, when you look on Ricky on paper, Ricky's never been a winner, okay? Ricky never won as a player. Ricky never won as a coach. The highest he had ever been was like second place before he won this. He, by the way, he got into the playoffs with a 60-game season, which, again, it is what it is. But in a 162-game season, it's not comparable. Mm. So he never had like a winning attitude of, I won as a player, I won. So I think that all that had stuff that were against him. I also think that, you know, when you have a first-year manager, and I'll give you an example. When I look at Grandpa Rossi, okay, Grandpa Rossi surprised me this year. I think that he did not make as many mistakes that I thought as he would. I think that he did a really good job with the media. I think so there was a growth, okay? Next year, I'm judging Grandpa Rossi at a different level. So when I judge Joe Maddon, I don't judge him as the same as Ross because of the years of experience on the job. I think that Rick was great early on, but I don't think that no one saw the growth. You saw really big mistakes on pitching situations and decisions that were made. So you didn't see that in-game management growth that you would want to see from a manager. And then with him, it was confusing because a lot of people thought that he was analytical, but then he would say that he wasn't analytical, and then he would go from his gut, but his gut wasn't a very good one. So I think that there was no growth at the end of the day, and I think that's why they went away from him, because there was no growth, and he made some decisions that you might second guess, and they thought, you know what, I think that we need to pull the plug before it's too late.
Ozzie, my only other question is, you mentioned that your podcasts live on social media. Please tell Mike's fans where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, at La Vida Baseball on Instagram and Facebook. Type in La Vida Baseball. It's a Spanish name, but the show is in English. we might throw a comment or two in Spanish, but it's on there, La Vida Baseball. I always retweeted it on my Facebook. Just check it out. Hey, the same thing we're doing here, we've been talking there. We try to be professional. We don't like making fun of players or calling them out. We try to give you an insight and give your opinion. I always say this. I don't hate the politician. I just hate the policies. I don't hate the player or the manager or the coach. I'm just talking about your policies. What are you putting in the game? It's not personal. Just like when I'm critiquing front offices, it's not that I don't like you as a person. I'm just giving you my opinion on what you're doing on the field or what you're doing as a strategist. So, and at the end of the day, I think that, you know, it's going to be a hard job for anybody that's going to come in for the White Sox. And here's why, which might be a blessing in disguise for Ozzie Guillen, because I laugh when people write on Twitter and say, if we get Michael Kopech, we have a World Series starting rotation, but you couldn't find a game three starter. But you don't find that, you don't have a game three starter.
His shoulders right now.
But that's what I mean, though. But you don't have a game three starter. So I think that whoever takes this job, if they come out and lose, fans are always going to say, why not Ozzie? Why not Ricky? Did we fire Ricky too early? You're going to always start second guessing. And then they bought themselves a window. If they don't win next year, they're going to say, well, we were trying to blend the coaching staff with the player, it takes another year of growth. So you bought yourself a year right there. And I think that this team, I'm not bought into it. I think there's amazing players with amazing talent, but it was a 60-game season. Yep. You didn't even win the division. So I'm not bought into them. They're in a really – I'm like a 50-50 with them on how good they are and how good they can be. By the way, in this season, the Miami Marlins went to the playoffs. They'll be last place next year. Hmm. They'll finish last next year.
And I'll also say this, that you're right, and the White Sox collapsed. I was hearing Steve Stone and Jason, oh, it's only going to get better. And then all of a sudden, they didn't win for 2 weeks. So I think everybody, you've got to take a step back. I'm with you on that. And you know that my Spanish is limited, as you know, Oz. But I will tell you this. You and I went out a couple times. We lived La Vida Loca. Only your skin was the color of mocha. And I will tell you this. I want you to say hello to your father and to your family and to your everybody, I think it's a great, great story. I hope your dad gets another opportunity, but take it from me and other people. Sometimes you do them. Somebody said to me, does that guy deserve a second chance or does that guy deserve a second chance? Here's what I always tell somebody. If you did it right the first chance, you don't need the second chance. You deserve the second chance. And I hope that happens to your dad because he did it right the first time, okay?
Well, that means a lot, Mike. And I think that, you know, one of the things that Ozzy always feels that he's the pain is that Ozzy's like you. He's a jokester. He's a prankster.
Right.
Sometimes he says things off his hip that might be taken into out of perspective. By the way, no one ever brings this up because now that we're men, we always tell him, Dad, you can't say that. What do you mean? I said, it doesn't sound the same in Spanish as it does in English. it doesn't, right. That word doesn't mean the same thing. Again, that's a personal situation. Again, some people might take out of context, but I think that Ozzy always felt that, you know, never taking steroids, never being caught with a DUI, never being caught doing drugs, which he's never done, which I still find surprising, especially where he's from, never cheating the game, you know, that trying to live this upstand life. If you compare my father's life to our kids, man, we're wild. He's a stand-up guy, and especially in the game of baseball. So for him, when he feels punished because of a comment, and then he sees other people getting second chances, doing way worse things than he did, he always says this. It's like saying, I'm going to commit a murder and doing 15 years, and someone actually committing the murder and not doing time.
Like, I agree. You know what else? Here's another thing, and I'm just going to bring this up, and then we got to let you go, pal. But the players don't deserve a manager that fixed games because they're going to pay the price because they're going to face a Joe Kelly down the line or somebody that doesn't like what happened. So I will state once again for everybody here, not that they give a damn. They don't give a damn about me, but I love the White Sox, grew up loving them. I took the L from the north side to 35th Street as a 12-year-old. That's like climbing Mount Everest. I'm going to tell you something, and I was sometimes with a buddy, and that's it. I'll be gone. We appreciate it, Ozzy, and say
love
hi.
Love you guys.
Again, okay?
I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Ozzy.
Everyone. Big hug, guys. Thank you.
All righty.
All right, pal.
What
Ozzy
an interview.
Jr.
What a great interview. My goodness.
It's just horrible. You know, the thing that's bothering me, I'm sorry. I mean, people that I respect want the fixer to come in and manage. It's just mind-boggling. He won because they fixed the games.
Yeah.
And if you're watching the Houston Astros now, lately, especially yesterday, okay, ask yourself this. Would the series be different if they were clanking the garbage cans and if they knew what was coming? Jose Altuve is lost, a 219 hitter. During the season, and now he can't even throw the ball to second base.
Mm-hmm.
It's a burden that they got caught, and I don't think, Aldo, it's a good thing for the Chicago White Sox, who are famous for cheating or fixing games, to bring in somebody who did the damn same thing 100 years later.
It's hard to argue with that point, Mike, and let me ask you this question. Do you think even the Astros would have made it this far into the postseason if they were playing in front of fans who were booing and mocking them for what they committed and did illegally to win that World Series years ago? I don't think so. I think they would have probably had a losing record if they would have had to face, so to speak, a jury of their peers, fans just mocking and booing them. So they've been lucky to have played in a bubble type situation.
Yeah, that's a great point. And their record during the regular season is conducive. They got into playoffs, but guess what? Their experience has helped carry them a little bit. But those guys aren't the same. I mean, they're still hitting the baseball, but not like they did.
That's
not
for sure.
Like they knew it was coming. I hope Ozzy gets an interview. I felt very good about the fact that his son told me, I'm the only one going to bat for him. And it's sort of funny, but it's not funny. It's the truth about street guys.
Yeah.
Him and I had a couple of rows.
Oh, my goodness,
okay,
yeah.
I talked to him on the phone one night. It wasn't pretty. And not only the argument on the radio.
Right.
I never held that against him. He had the guts to call. He was honest. And the fact is, it was at the time, it was great for the station, great for the show, but I admired him for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the White Sox don't want to even give him an interview, you know, it's just amazing to me. But then it isn't, because they've been grudge holders for a long time, and they punish the people who deliver sometimes for them, because there aren't many.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't many. And I think, and by the way, Ozzie Guillen Jr. basically said his dad can't get another interview.
Yeah.
Did he make some mistakes? Absolutely. But if you can't get an interview by the White Sox, think about this, folks. The team you won the World Series for. Hey, Oz, we've decided not to even talk to you. But thanks for everything. Goodbye. You're not getting interviewed by anybody else. And who's doing the talking behind the scenes so he doesn't get an interview?
Right. Well, nobody knows better than you the type of society that we live in now, the cancel culture, political correction to such an extreme that it's backfired. Whatever political correction started off as, it's definitely not that now. It's
well,
gone
know
way
what
overboard.
Guy said to me, I think it might have been you. It might have been you or somebody else. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, I think it was somebody else. He said, don't you wish you had another chance at the score? Don't you deserve a second chance at the score? I said, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I said, it doesn't matter to me, because I did it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so did Ozzie Guillen.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
So Ozzie's got that going for him. Okay? I'm way past the point where I give a damn about whether I work anywhere or not. I love what I'm doing at ESPN 1000. I love what I'm doing at the barroom for sure.
Well, one of the things...
11,200. Let me tell everybody this. I already made my bones. I won. And so did Ozzie. It's just that Ozzie still, I believe, has more to give. And I think if he was in a major league dugout with a team that was on the cusp, I think he's the guy. I think he could help a team win. And I hope somebody at least interviews the man.
I hear you. And one of the things that I love about the Mike North Advantage is this segment. This is, of course, the segment where Mike gives out a few picks, and the last time I checked, he was on the positive side. He's on the positive side of winning.
I'm glad I am here, because I feel like Captain Bly. Where's the plank? Listen to this. 8-7 with the barroom. But for the first time ever, I'm at a crossroads in my handicapping career at AM 1000 as I'm 4. Listen to this. I almost feel like the Detroit Lions. I almost feel like the, I would say Tampa Bay, but they got a better quarterback.
Yeah.
But I just feel like a damn loser on that station right now, because I'm 4-13 with my best bets. Yet, I'm doing 8-7 on the barroom. So, you know what? I'm going to straighten out the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have nothing to straighten out here, ladies and gentlemen. And as you know, we have playoff baseball going on. All right? And that is to Eldo goes, Mike, it's been working out the playoff baseball. Throw some nuggets out today. Because there's two games. I go, yeah, Tampa Bay's playing Houston, you know, and the Dodgers are playing Atlanta. Now, Tampa Bay playing Houston. Tampa Bay's minus 140 against Houston tonight. The over and under is 8. I'm taking the under 8 in the Tampa Bay-Houston game, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's going to be hotly contested. I think Houston's trying to avoid an embarrassment by being swept, especially after what happened, as we just talked about, with Ozzie Jr. and Eldo. But I decide I'm going to go under 8 Tampa Bay. And then tonight, you have the Dodgers playing the Atlanta Braves. Take the over in the L.A. game. The over in that game is 9.5. L.A., Dodgers, Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman, a professional hitter. Nicky Markakis, a professional hitter. Are the Dodgers going to fall on their face again? What's the excuse going to be? You've had nothing but studs, Mookie Betts, Kershaw, all these other guys. So once again, under 8, Tampa Bay, Houston, over 9.5, L.A. Dodgers. Eldo, back to you.
Outstanding stuff. Outstanding stuff.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I got a feeling that your record is going to improve a couple of games here because I like both of these picks, although that usually is the kiss of death.
Well, I was just going to say, give me the over 8. Tampa Bay, I'm going to just make the U, which is an under, or no, after you said that. No, I'm kidding. Under 8 Tampa Bay, over 9 in the FLA. Hey, like I said, I win one day, I lose another day. That's the world of gambling. But you know what? I'm a street player, folks, so you just got to hang on. It's just one of those things. I only got about 80 more games to pick. It's not like we're down to the last season. The last games or two, or last 2 weeks of the season, I'll get better at ESPN, but definitely kick ass at the barroom like I always do.
There you go. Hey, before we talk a little bit about the Bears, I wanted to get your thoughts on the NBA Finals. The Los Angeles Lakers beat the Miami Heat in 6 games. LeBron James says on national TV that he wants his respect, and I think that is... he's making an allusion to the fact that people say he's not one of the greatest players of the game or not the greatest players of the game. And I think he's trying to make his case for that. So what did you think, first of all, of the Lakers winning this NBA championship and of LeBron's comments afterwards?
Well, I think the poor guy, I mean, you know, he wants respect. I think people, every person that... I want to hear one person say he's not a top 10 player or a top 5 player. You can have your disagreements, but I mean, you know, I got Jordan, I got Wilt Chamberlain, got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird. LeBron James is in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that the Lakers were going to win before this whole bubble experience began. Why? Because of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But the problem is, if you're going to jump from team to team, the argument could be made that with the Miami Heat, you weren't even the best player. It was Dwayne Wade at that time. Or the argument could be made that you went and got Anthony Davis, and he, without he, you don't win. So you pick and choose. You jump around. And I don't think a lot of people respect that. They respect what Bird did, what Jordan did. Stay with your team. But I think also he's very open politically. He's very open with the social stances, whether we agree, whether I agree, whether people disagree, agree, it don't matter. That's why a lot of people in this country don't like him. But nobody in their right mind would say he's not a top 10 player of all time, in my opinion. And if you do, you're just a hater. And I don't hate on him for his stance politically. I think he should stay as quiet as he can about it, because then this decision arises where he thinks he's not respected as a basketball player. No, he's not respected maybe for his stance on certain things that a lot of people disagree with. And sometimes he says stuff that both sides disagree with.
Right.
You know, and there's been a situation where he had a racial hoax at his house, and people caught that because he said that stuff was graffitied on his mansion, but there's no video in this day and age. So a lot of people, the fringe LeBron, they don't like him. But if you say you don't like him as a basketball player, you're just a hater. I love De Niro. I don't agree with everything he does, but if Casino's on, I'm turning it on. I'm not going to go, well, he doesn't like this guy or he doesn't like that party. That's just simply nonsense. It's got to stop. I'm not a boycott guy. Other people are, but I'm not.
There you go. Now, another guy that is earning a lot of respect is Jimmy Butler. He had a outstanding series and basically held up that Miami Heat all on his own. Afterwards, he was very disappointed, and he said he made a promise to Pat Riley and the Miami Heat organization that he was unable to fulfill. Here's a few comments from him after the game.
And I told them that I would win them one, and I didn't hold up my end of the bargain. So that means I got to do it next year. I told Pat, I told Coach Pat, I told Coach Bo, I'm here to win one. I didn't do my job. So moving forward, I got to hold up my end of the bargain.
You gotta salute a guy who, you know, takes full responsibility for the fact that they did not beat the Lakers.
What a nonsense. What a bunch of nonsense. What a ridiculous thing to let them. off the hook. Get him some players around him. If they do, they're going to win. I mean, you know what? I understand. He was like this year's Kawhi Leonard, you know? But he was by himself because they had injury problems. Dragic got hurt. Come on. I mean, you can't lose the guy that I said was stirring the drink along with Jimmy. They just didn't have, for where they ended up, what a year they had. Jimmy Butler opened many players' eyes. I think it was a step, and many people's eyes. I think it was a step up year. But Pat Riley and, I'm sure, Spoelstra, who's a great coach, guy's 50 years old. You believe that? Guy's 50 years old. I look at him, he looks like he's 12. Okay?
Yes, yes.
Bottom line is they need to get him some better players, and I think they will. Pat Riley, probably one of the top five coaches of all time, or front office men, or both.
Speaking of getting better men, there's all sorts of rumors flying around that the Chicago Bears may be interested in picking up Le'Veon Bell, who was released by the New York Jets. What are your thoughts on bringing in Le'Veon Bell to sort of replace Tariq Cohen and help out with the Bears' running game?
Well, I got a couple things, okay? Number one, I watched the Jets this week. They haven't covered in five games. They're 0-5. Okay? And I have three of those losses. So that's one of my downfalls. Okay? Three of the times I've actually picked the Jets. I heard other people this week saying they'll cover this week because they haven't covered in the first four.
Mm-hmm.
And they took them, like me, and we got defeated. I will tell you this. If you don't open holes, Le'Veon Bell's useless to you. He is absolutely useless to you because I watched him. He's a better running back than the guys we have. And this is what the point I want to make, because nobody does a better job than Eldo. Nobody. When it comes to asking Bears barroom questions. Okay? But I do have one minor criticism. My
Let's bring it on, baby.
All right. I saw this, and I know from being with my dear friend for so many years. Jesus, sounds like a Senate hearing, doesn't it?
I don't recall.
I don't remember. Whatever day. But Aldo asked a great question, which I thought was apropos last, on Bears Barroom, okay?
Okay.
And he asked about the running game. And here's what he asked, and I saved it. And this is why he's great. After averaging 138 rushing yards per game in the Bears' first three games, the team has averaged 31 in the last two games. What do you think is the biggest cause? Tariq Cohen's injury, 9%. Coach Nagy, play calling, 37%. That's two rights already. The competition, 26%, and the offensive line, 28%. In my view, those are all pertinent points. But he was missing his guy. David Montgomery's name has to be on there. And you know why Aldo sort of skirted that? Because Aldo, I think, still believes that David Montgomery's the guy. And maybe he is. But you got to put him in there. And I'll say this. David Montgomery had two outstanding first two games. The last three games, he can't bounce off a tackle. He can't break a tackle. And yes, the offensive line sucks. And he's got a new quarterback. I think it's all encumbered. But do you agree, my dear friend? How long we've been together? 3-4 years now?
Yeah.
Do you agree that David Montgomery's name should have been attached to this wonderful survey that you took?
You're absolutely right. And it did show my bias because I don't think that David Montgomery...
I knew it!
Yeah, I don't think David Montgomery is the reason why, but you are absolutely right. As part of that survey, he should have been on there. So, yeah, I can't argue.
Because I don't think he would have gotten a lot of the blame.
Yeah.
Maybe you just... But to me, and I saw some of the comments just to see, and only one or two people brought him up. One guy brought up, well, he stinks or whatever, and he put his picture up there. It wasn't over like it was David Montgomery's fault. But, man, we got rid of Jordan Howard, and I don't care. Jordan Howard's missing in action now. It doesn't matter anymore. but we thought this guy is the next deal. And I got to believe. You know what I would be curious on doing, Aldo? I wonder what kind, because I've seen the same film you have. He bounced off tackles when he was at Iowa State. But his line looked pretty good at Iowa State at that time, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he might be one of those guys that once he gets through that first hole, he can bounce. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. But there's in his defense, and there is no first hole, I would say I'm going to say at least 35 to 40% of his runs.
Yeah, well, and definitely the last two games, they've played against superior defensive lines than the first three games. And those guys, I mean, are really, really good statistically, and then they pass the eye test too. Now, this week against the Carolina Panthers, the Carolina is, I think, 21st or 22nd in the league in rush defense. So we have to see David Montgomery in this run game bounce back. And if they don't, then you start sounding the alarm and you start wondering, is David Montgomery part of the problem, or is the offensive line this bad, or is Matt Nagy bailing on the run game again? Whatever it is. But
well, here's Yurko. This is great. Yurko just answered me on my tweet this morning.
Okay.
Okay. I love Yurks. David Montgomery, and by the way, Yurks told me Foles was going to start the season. So, you know, he's been wrong before, but he might be right about this.
Okay.
Because he's been right before, too.
Oh, yeah.
David Montgomery has, I said David Montgomery has to break a run. You can't blame the O-line all the time or the play calling. Runners every Sunday perform, and he hasn't yet. And Yurk says, yes, you can, Mike. Five blocks of cream cheese blocking for the Bears. Show me a great offensive line, I will show you a productive running game. Here's my point. When they took David Montgomery, did they have a great offensive line?
No.
So why would you take him if that's what you need?
Well, I think that the Bears think that they have.
And I'm asking Yurko that. I'll ask him on Twitter that.
Yeah, ask him.
I'm asking him that.
Ask him that. But I think that what's happened with Ryan Pace and the Bears is that they've made a big investment into the offensive line. They're paying the two outside tackles a lot of money, and they've drafted the center and the left guard really high up in the draft, and then they picked up the right guard to replace Kyle Long, who was a big investment. And really, the right guard right now might be the best player and blocking on that line, and he was kind of a low rent acquisition. He's got a 1-year contract. He's signed on a prove it deal, and he's playing really, really good. But I think Ryan Pace is saying, well, my biggest investment into the offensive line this year was bringing in the offensive line coach Juan Castillo. And Juan Castillo looked like a great acquisition after the results of the first three games. But after the last two, where's all the big positive talk about Juan Castillo? It's you don't see it anymore on social media, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. Getting a new coach, Juan Castillo, does not make, and I said this on Bears Ballroom last year, and Aldo will remember it, doesn't make the linemen's feet faster.
That's right.
Doesn't mean their center of hitting better.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't make them, might make them smarter. But if you got the same group, hiring a man to maybe help you with some techniques, fine. But if you got the same group of guys, it would be awfully tough to get them to perform at a high level. I'm with you 100% on that. But my stance once again is, with Yurko, is if you need a great offensive line, you shouldn't have taken David Montgomery at that point.
Yeah, I'm with
you. We come from a city where Gale Sayers didn't have the greatest offensive line.
That's right.
But these guys are legends.
Yeah.
David Montgomery's maybe a good back, you know? Le'Veon Bell, I think, is sort of past his prime already.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He's past his prime, and, you know, he's kind of a locker room problem. You know, he chose not to play with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He held out the entire year, and I think that left a really bitter taste with his teammates. And business is business. You got to do what you got to do. But at a certain point, he was expected by his teammates to come back and help the Steelers, and that didn't happen. And he's he hasn't done anything that with the Jets, and that could be Adam Gase's fault, because Adam Gase has proven to be perhaps the worst coach in the NFL now that the guy in Houston has been fired. So
I don't want to even look up and read the columns or even read. I don't even remember what I said when he left, but I got to believe, if I remember correctly, a lot of people want the Bears to sign him.
Yeah, they did.
You know?
Yeah, everyone was thinking that he was kind of an offensive genius. You know, he had Jay Cutler play his best football perhaps in his entire stay with the Bears, but that was all mirrors, man. Adam Gase just is not a good head football coach. He might be a decent offensive coordinator, but he's definitely not a leader of men.
I would also say this. How did Jordan Howard run for 4-something a carry with the same line?
Yeah, well, that's a great, great point. A great, great point.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, how banged up was Kyle Long that he didn't make this team, that he had to retire? You know how injured he must have been, man. Mm. You know how screwed up. I know the guy had injury problems and stuff like that, but I mean, too bad about injuries, because he was the best we had.
Yeah.
Not that he was going to play forever, right?
Right. Absolutely not. Yeah, he took a lot of punishment, and he's not real happy with Matt Nagy. He says that he feels like Matt Nagy kind of forced him out. So that could just be a disgruntled player saying that, or there could be some validity to that. Hey, I wanted to ask you about Tom Brady and his performance against the Bears last Thursday night, and in particular, what appeared to be the case of him thinking it was fourth down when the game was actually over. Did he have a one of those moments that I frequently have, a senior moment?
Well, when he did that, I asked Pete, what down is it? Because, you know what?
Yeah.
But I'm laying in bed. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not quarterback to the team. There's a huge scoreboard.
Yes.
The scoreboard's all over the place. You know, with lit up numbers.
Right.
And it tells you downs. I don't have that. I'm laying at home. And I'm how many times, thank God for graphics, have we said, boy, what down is it? That's okay for us. This was not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to cover for the greatest quarterback in history, I'm not going to, you know, it was a mistake. He's entitled.
Oh, yeah.
He'll make up for it.
Yeah.
Believe me. We're not going to throw him off the team, but he made a mistake, Elds.
Yeah.
He made a mistake, and you know, between that and not shaking hands with Foles, it's not been a good couple weeks for him.
Yeah, it's been tough go. And the one thing also about that game is that Brady was clearly rattled by Khalil Mack and that defensive line. I mean, they were getting after him. There's all these great images that have been posted on social media of Brady, you know, yelling at his offensive line, of looking up after he's been thrown to the ground and looking up at Khalil Mack, like saying, please don't hurt me anymore. And so that, I think, was a huge factor in his performance and perhaps that gaffe at the end of the game. So what were your thoughts about the Bears' defense on that Thursday night game?
I love the Bears' defense. I said they were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
One of my winners, 26-24. I thought it'd be a lot. I said they were going to win outright,
right.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Foles came through. I thought he played well. They still don't have the running game they need. Jimmy Graham made a great catch. The defense came to play. I thought Nagy called some decent plays. I think it's good Trubisky sitting. I think it's all positives for us right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't want to hear that they haven't beaten a good team now. We're
right.
not going to hear that.
Right.
Which is great for us because, let's face it, if you're hanging your hat on the Giants and the Lions, you know, that's okay. You won the games. I think when you win games and you beat good quarterbacks, or when you come from behind like they did with both quarterbacks, this is all positive.
Yeah.
The nonsense that they've had two wins coming back from 16 points, say, when I hear the nonsense, well, they should be like 1-4. No. You don't crap on a team that 2 weeks in a row came back from 16-point deficits.
Right.
You crap on the other teams.
Right.
And you know what? There's been teams that have won Super Bowls that have had come from behind victories their whole career.
Yes.
I mean, John Elway, for God's sake, is famous for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Cleveland Brown fans back in the day can say all they want. Oh, we should have beaten Elway a couple times in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They suck. But they beat you. And they had a 98-yard drive on one of them. So I think it's nonsensical. All you got to do is win. And we're in a good spot right now. And the total of 8 looks very, 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 very winnable with the over.
I'm with you, brother. I am so with you. I think we are in a good spot. And I do expect that this offense is going to improve with time because I think, you know, you got to – look at this realistically. Nick Foles has not played terribly, and he's basically, these are his preseason games because he didn't have any preseason games. He didn't even have an offseason with the Bears. He was learning the playbook remotely via Zoom and all that crap. So it's not far-fetched to say that Nick Foles is going to play better in the coming weeks and that this offense will score more points. So I one of the questions I put up on Twitter is, do you think that if the offense can at least play average or a little bit above average, that the Chicago Bears, like Mike Florio said on his website, profootballtalk.com, do you think that the Bears can run the table and win the rest of their regular season games or come close to having a record like, you know, 15-1, 14-2, 13-3?
What'd you say? What did people say?
A lot of people said Mike Florio is an asshole. I know Greg Gabriel thinks that Mike Florio is an asshole, but that's a different story. Lot of people.
Yeah, you know what? I hear the same thing. But I'll tell you this. It's a cliche, but just enjoy it week by week.
Yes.
We didn't expect to be 4-1.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody expected us to be 4-1.
Good point.
I know Vegas didn't expect us to be 4-1.
That's for sure.
But it doesn't matter because you can look like you're going to get the over. I mean, the Chicago Cubs should have had the over a month before the season ended, and they had to wait till the last week of 32 wins to break it. I was having a heart attack. They should have done it 2 weeks before, but they started losing. So we're not out of the woods yet. But, man, the confidence factor. I do want to see Cole Kmet get more playing time, and I want to see him catch the football a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you got Jimmy Graham, but I think you could fit him in there more, and he's my cousin. It doesn't matter. I don't know if people know that, but he's been on the bar room.
That's right.
But I've heard other people, I'm not going to say my opinion, I've heard other people say, you got to get him in more. And you know who one of those people was? Coach Nagy.
Yeah.
Says, we got to get him in more. So we'll see what happens down the line. Other than that, and the running game, we're 4-1 without a running game.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and we've gotten, by the way, this reminds me of a couple of years ago. We're starting to get some turnovers that we didn't get last year.
That is huge.
Yeah.
Hey, before I let you go, what do you think about Vegas making the Chicago Bears a 2.5-point underdog?
Well, you know what? They've been underdogs already.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to faze them. And you know what it tells you when you're a 1, 2, or 3-point dog or 1, 2, or 3-point favorite or a picket? Mm-hmm. There's not much difference between the two teams. And they're expecting people to think that the Bears are a fluke. Mm-hmm. They've been expecting people to think, they've been expecting that for 5 weeks and it hasn't happened. I mean, seriously, they were an underdog against who? Tom Brady.
Right.
Now, this could be a trap. Maybe it's a week they don't come out. But the way they're playing, the defense seems to be perking up. The quarterback situation right now seems to be resolving itself. I would say this. The one excuse I don't want to hear from anybody about the quarterback situation is this. Well, he doesn't have any playing time with them or, you know, they're not ready yet or whatever. First of all, we've won, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, if they're not in sync yet, then don't start them. Start Trubisky. Otherwise, just shut up. Because you know what? We beat Tampa Bay. And you're right, Aldo. This is sort of like his preseason. But that didn't stop him from beating. These guys get out. They play football. They don't think back to, oh, I haven't played a whole lot. He was in there, and he delivered.
Well, the Titans proved last night that you don't need practice to go out and kick somebody's ass. Huh?
Yeah. And by the way, It's sort of funny. I know Tannehill had better numbers his first 3 years with the Dolphins than Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
But check out his numbers.
Yeah.
They crapped all over him there.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe, and then he went to a good football team, and he's changed his whole life.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing what a coach in a different atmosphere can do for a team? So,
that's what I'm afraid of, because I'm hearing these rumors. I don't know if you heard this rumor, that if Trubisky was let go, New England would be interested. And that scares the crap out of me. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, Trubisky definitely will not be returning to the Chicago Bears in 2021. And, I mean, unless some miracle happens and he gets in there because of injury or whatever and he plays well. But so he's going to definitely...
He'll be the first 3-0 starter ever let go.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, but you know what? He'll haunt us. I'm telling you. This has happened before.
Oh, my gosh.
Ask George Blanda. Okay?
That's right.
I can name you quarterbacks from the 50s who have left the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And we kept the dogs.
Right.
All right?
Right.
I mean, really, think about it. I mean, but then there's other quarterbacks at the Bears. I mean, think about it. I mean, we've had Jim Harbaugh, Jim McMahon, hopefully Foles. But Trubisky still has decent numbers. He'll end up with somebody else, because if you look at his numbers, he could start for somebody next year. I don't know if he'll be successful, but under a different atmosphere, he could start.
Well, he's definitely a great guy, and I wish him all the luck. And hopefully, if he gets another opportunity with the Bears.
Aldo just told Trubisky, wish you a lot of luck. Put the sign in front of the on the lawn. I'll be over in my yellow blazer to be your real estate agent.
The limo to the airport is waiting for you.
Good luck to you. I'll Uber you there. You're the best.
No, you're the best. And the Mike North Advantage can be found on podcasts everywhere. iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, even our YouTube channel we posted on there. So I know those of you who have listened to it are sharing it with your friends. And we ask you to continue to do so, because we love putting this show together for you. The Mike North Advantage with the great Mike North. Mike, it's all yours.
All right, thanks, buddy, and appreciate it, folks. Go to North to North, go to Aldo Gandia, or go to Bears Barroom. Also, the great website, bearsbarroom.com. Thanks to everybody's support. I remember, I don't know how many years it's been I've been with Al. When you're having fun, you don't even think about it, but we started, I remember when I started, and with the hard work of everybody at the barroom, we've gone from $49.95 now to $11,200 with some great additions, some great shows. Gabriel, Schuster, Grobstein, Buffon, I can name them all. Just check out the website. Aldo, take care. So long, everybody.